So let your colors run tonight. We're painting in the dark. Let your colors run tonight. The colors of your heart.
Welcome, everyone, to the Catchy Lefty podcast. We are on the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, and we will be talking about 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13 today. It is so good, as always, to be here talking about this scripture with you, and I am here with my friends, Chris and Patrick. Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Good. I thought I wasn't sure I was going to be here today because I outed myself, but
we were a little worried, but luckily nobody's gotten a hold of this podcast yet.
I know. I'm actually like just thinking of along that lines. I was looking at, there are like so many different types of closed groups now on Facebook regarding Nazarenes and our hidden agendas. Like, and I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
It doesn't seem to go well with the unity of the body.
No, it does not. Maybe we should send this podcast to all of our friends in those groups.
I'm starting a closed group for people who aren't in closed groups.
Oh, goodness. Well, let's go ahead and jump into 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. I'll go ahead and read that for us. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love.
Hmm. Man, way to go at reading that, Jen. That was awesome. No, it's a good text.
It is. Convicting.
Yeah, I think it really is. Especially if we read it in this, like the larger context of what's going on in 1 Corinthians as a whole. Like I think right off the bat, my gut reaction is that I've heard this text all the time in so many different ways. Like I've heard it read at wedding ceremonies. I've even like memorized it and learned it myself, that it's really easy just to read it outside of the context of 1 Corinthians. Like it could even, I don't know, like you could even read it without even recognizing that it's Paul talking to a group of believers in First Corinthians that are arguing for a level of hierarchy and egotism. Yeah, but like this follows up the text that we've looked at for the past 2 weeks, that love here is not just a virtue, or even an action, but it's a way of being that is intimately and deeply connected to living in the Spirit of God. And when placed in that right, like in that mindset, then it really is actually even more powerful than just, I guess, some form of romanticism that our culture likes to turn this passage into, and that perhaps we even have been guilty of turning this passage into.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, whenever you read this in its full context, when we're talking about the divisions of the church and the issues among the body and how they're not valuing one another, how they're trying to, you know, have the important people and the non-important people and all of that, and then we realize that we still struggle with those issues of not embracing our unity in the one Spirit and one Lord today, it's really, you know, we can think about, oh yeah, when I think about my family or my friends, love is patient, love is kind, that all sounds lovely. But when you think about, you know, all the people in the larger church that are maybe a little difficult to get along with, or that you maybe don't appreciate so much, or that you disagree with, does the call to love in all of these ways becomes a lot more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. What are your thoughts, Chris?
I'm thinking about this in the context of the title of our series, Fear and Desire, and I wonder, I don't know that Paul is headed this way, but I think about the kind of milieu that we live in today, and we seem to be, I mean, maybe it's the human condition and not just today, but we seem to be always tempted to be led by our fears or our desires, and love and who we love and how we love sort of comes after that. And Paul's making this argument that love ought to be the first, not sort of the response to everything else.
Right.
And it mitigates, again, to use a series name, you know, it, this is this call to mitigate our fears and our desires.
Mm-hmm.
That those become subsumed or secondary under this call we have to be a people of love as God has loved.
Yeah. Well, and then even the temptation, I mean, that's right on. I think we could end the podcast right now and we'd have enough to develop the whole sermon on. But like, it's even this passage could even be another like mimetic version of what we try to do. Like we take, and I've noticed that a lot in this series that these scriptures, we tend to use them to almost justify our fears and our desires when all of these passages are present to almost convict us in our fears and desires, right? So we can use this we've used this passage to just propagate our own versions of love and our own false romantic ideals of what love should be and how it should make us feel, because we get it out of order and we use this passage we justify our fears and our desires, when really this passage should be used to convict us in our differences between our fears and our desires and what our actions actually should be. I think that's good stuff.
I don't know if the people who will be listening to us can pick up on it, but I think part of the power of the three of us hearing Jen read this text is that we've just heard the 1 Corinthians 12 text about 15 minutes ago, and it is really powerful read in context of the larger book of Corinthians. And I feel like, Patrick, you mentioned it. I feel like that's part of what we were hearing. Jen read it really well, but also in the context of what we were just talking about together earlier here. It's pretty amazing. Once you put it into gifts and the body and unity and And then you read this and you're like, wow, this is very powerful.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I think that we could really hone in on the one line, for we know only in part.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that in the church, when it comes to these like divisions and disagreements, we all just think that we know. And they don't know. But to recognize that we all know only in part, I think is a really humbling and important thing to take away from this.
Yeah, like I was actually, so I was reading this article yesterday. Chris, I think you shared it on your Facebook page, but it was about the two numbers that might lead to the end of our current understanding of physics as we know it. Yes. And they're talking about like the Heisenberg field and dark matter, and how both of those numbers in those algorithms and equations don't add up to what they should be. Like the Heisenberg field should either be zero or it should be like a huge number, and it's actually neither of those things. And then dark matter has this incredible amount of power behind it, but it's not. But like if you were looking at what it should, what the reaction should be according to the power that dark matter has, like our universe should be torn apart, and physicists just don't know why they are the way that they are. And like how humbling is that, that we don't fully know?
Like, yeah.
We just don't. I mean, and Paul says it here. I mean, so it seems like so many people want to claim that they have an upper hand on truth. And I think the Corinthian, in the context of the Corinthian church, you know, there were people that were saying, well, we know, we have this knowledge. And Paul's like, if you were truly living in the Spirit and in love, you'd recognize that knowledge is not everything, and you don't really even know what you think you know. Like there's still so much more to be revealed and understood. And again, it gives us that, like the emphasis on just more humility in the way that we treat one another, the way that we act according to ourselves and in general. And I also like how I think we should focus on in part. I think that's a good narrowing. But then also right after that where it talks about the end or completeness, where it's actually like teleos, and the whole idea behind that is that it's like the fulfillment of things. So complete is a good understanding, but I think the fulfillment of things is like that we need to act with the end in mind, right? Like we need to be focused on things beyond our current situations. Which is super hard to do. Like I mean, I struggle with a lot of anxiety, and I think one of the reasons why I struggle with anxiety is because I tend to isolate my current events and I don't put them into the larger perspective that other people have gone through this before and they've survived, or you know, governments have raised up and governments have been fallen and the world keeps on moving. And we're just but like a, not even a breath in the long run of life. And so like just keeping it, having the right perspective is important.
Yeah.
Cool. Are we good? Are we done?
I guess so.
Chris, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm just reading the text over and thinking about it. So that may be post-podcast thoughts. So.
Awesome.
All right, well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap this up for today. Thank you for being with us here at the Catchy Lecty podcast. You can always check out our website, which is catchylecty.org. Did I get that right? Is it .org?
I can never remember if it's .org or .com.
Well, let's clarify this once and for all. It's .com. It's catchylecty.com. So check us out there, and you can find me. I'm Jennifer Chapman at facebook.com/NexusDallas. Nexus Community is my church. And Patrick and Chris, let us know how we can find you.
You can find me at faithcommunitynaz.church, which is the church that I pastor, or on Facebook or Twitter at the handler at Patrick Glenn.
You can find me at our church website, cfcn.org, or you can hit me up on Facebook, and I don't have a weird handle. It's just Chris Patton. So.
Hey, all right. There are two Patrick Ingles in this world, and he was older than I'm just letting you know.
Okay, well, thanks for being with us today. Grace and peace with you all.